Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our reflection on the historical Jesus, Jesus of the Gospels. In our last reflection, we saw the encounter of two would-be mothers, Elizabeth and Mary. The presence of the Redeemer, the unborn Redeemer in Mary, triggered a great joy and occasioned a loud praise from Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist, who was to be the forerunner of the Messiah. Today we want to continue our reflection on another hymn, a hymn attributed to Mary. And this hymn is presented as sung when Mary heard the praise of Elizabeth. Mary is praising God for the great experience of the mighty deeds in her own life. The hymn is usually called Magnificat, and this is a hymn that is being sung in the church every day in the prayers of the office. The religious, the priests, every day they sing this particular hymn. And all the faithful, the Christians, consider this as one of the greatest hymns of history, praising God for the experience of salvation. First, let us read the hymn and then make our reflections on some of the points the hymn is telling us. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." A beautiful hymn, praising God for the experience of salvation. This hymn attributed to Mary is coined in the Old Testament terminology. This hymn is very much similar to another hymn attributed to Hannah, the mother of Samuel. In the first book of Samuel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, we have the hymn of Hannah. That hymn starts like this. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 1. "My heart exults in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God." And so it begins. And there is a lot of similarities between the two hymns. A person who was steeped in the Old Testament tradition of praises and hymns. Hymns like that of Hannah or Leah or other women, or hymns of praise and thanksgiving of the Psalms, are very familiar to these people. And a person of such religious tradition can easily coin a hymn like that we are considering. So this is quite probable that Mary made this hymn at the spur of the moment, inspired by the Spirit of God. A person who was familiar with the Old Testament traditions of hymns and praises can sing this, and especially under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. But at the same time, it is also considered to be a Christian hymn sung in the Christian community again and again. We do not know exactly how it originated. Most probably it is from Mary. And Luke has presented this Christian hymn in the context of the visitation. So now, this hymn has become one of the greatest hymns of the church, of the Christian community. Not only Christian community, anybody, any believer can use this as a hymn to praise God. This hymn proper has four parts. The first part is an introduction. Verses 46 and 47 is an introduction expressing the intention of praising God. Then verses 48 to 50 praises God from the aspect of a personal experience. The one who sings the hymn praises God from her personal experience. How this person has experienced the salvific power, work of God. Then verses 51 to 53 narrates the history of God's action. How throughout the history, God has been acting in favor of the weak, the poor, and the powerless. Finally, verses 54 and 55 tells us that this action of God, especially in Mary, has been the fulfillment of promises made to the ancestors, to Abraham and his sons. So the introduction, the personal experience of salvation, history of salvation, and finally, the fulfillment of God's promises. That's how the hymn is structured. Now let us go through the verses. It starts by saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord." What is my soul? It's not something separate from me. It's not something distinct from me. My soul is myself. All that I call myself, my inner being, my person. So my whole self is magnifying the Lord. And what does it mean to magnify? You use a magnifying glass to see something more greater than what it is. It's not that way. I am not making God any greater than He is. In fact, another translation would say, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. It's rather proclaiming the greatness rather than magnifying God. So it's the particular translation. The RSV I'm using is magnifies the Lord. Means my soul, I am proclaiming God's greatness. I am marveling at His greatness. I'm contemplating the greatness of God in His action, in my life, in the life of the world, in the life of during the history. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. And that's what we are all called to proclaim God's greatness, to share the experience of God's salvation in the personal life. Don't keep it to myself. I don't keep the experience to myself. I share with others. So in sharing my experience of God's helping intervention in my life, I am magnifying the Lord. I am glorifying the Lord. Not that I am adding something to His glory, but making that glory, making that nature of God understood by others. And my spirit rejoices in my God, my Savior. So this proclaiming the greatness is with joy. The person who sings here rejoices in proclaiming God's greatness. People think they can rejoice when they have wealth, when they succeed in life, when they get a higher position, when they get a higher pay, when they earn something more than usual. That is not what the source of real joy is. Real joy comes from the Spirit. In the letter to the Philippians, Paul is telling them to rejoice. We know Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter. This is one of the letters from the prison. And in this letter, chapter 3, verse 1, Paul is telling, "My brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord." Rejoicing in the Lord because they are aware that God is with them. In Galatians, letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22, Paul is speaking about the fruits of the Spirit. And these fruits of the spirit is in contrast with the fruits of the flesh. Now, in enumerating the 9 fruits of the spirit, Paul has this. By contrast, the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, the second. Then peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Joy is a gift. Joy is a gift of the Lord. Joy is the fruit of the spirit. And Jesus, in his farewell discourse, in chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, verse 11, he says, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Joy should become complete. And we praise God, rejoicing in his greatness. And the joy comes from the awareness that we are not alone, that we have been loved by God, accepted as we are. God is with us. So Mary is proclaiming the greatness of the Lord with great joy. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And particular reason for this joy is further said, for he looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. God has looked with favor on his lowliness of the servant. Even though this village girl of 13 or 14 years has nothing particular to boast about, Nazareth was an unknown village. Mary comes from a family that's not known in the history. And she had been betrothed to a village carpenter. Nothing spectacular. Nobody would give any particular credit to this individual girl. And now she has been chosen out of pure grace. Nothing of her merit. Whatever has happened to her has been the grace of God. God has looked upon her with great mercy. So the lowliness of Mary has been accepted, taken by God. So this is a personal experience. And now she goes on to say, surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Here we see a reference to Genesis chapter 30, verse 13. Leah is praising God when she got a son. Genesis 30, verse 13. And Leah said, happy am I, for the women will call me happy. All will call me happy because she has received a son. Now Mary is telling, all the generations will call me blessed because God has done great things for me. And what is this great thing? She has been called to be the mother of the Savior. None of her merit. It had been a choice of God. She has been chosen by God to be the mother, and because of that, we call her blessed. When the Catholic Church praises Mary as the mother of the Savior, the Church is doing nothing but praising God for choosing this particular person. And the Church is also praising God for his action in history in favor of the weak and the poor. The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. So the personal experience of Mary has been that God has come down with all his might to choose her, this particular individual. And this experience of Mary can be shared with any, shared by all of us. He has looked upon our weakness, our smallness, and has chosen for a particular purpose. Now Mary focuses the attention. The hymn goes on to narrate God's intervention in history. He has shown strength with his arm. The power of God has been manifested in the creation and more so in the liberation of the people of Israel. They experienced God's mighty arm when the armies of Pharaoh was defeated, when the people of Israel, a group of slaves, were liberated from slavery and brought to the promised land. The mighty hand of God had been revealed again and again in history. So this hymn is referring to the intervention of God in history. He has shown strength in his arm, with his arm. And this strength has been manifested in threefold ways, it is said. This intervention of God in history makes a transformation, a change, a subversive intervention, in fact. He is turning upside down on the moral level, on a political level, and on an economic level. A thorough, total change, a revolutionizing in history. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Those who consider themselves strong, powerful, have nothing to do, nothing to claim in God's sight. The scattering of the proud and choosing the humble has been the experience of all the people who really believed in God. For example, Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, reminds them of the particular nature of the choice of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. God's intervention in history, in scattering the proud. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones. People who considered themselves powerful, mighty, the emperors, were brought down. And the history of the world witnesses to this intervention of God that scatters and brings down, topples the thrones and crowns. We know the mighty empires that came and went, leaving no trace. Where are the Assyrians and Babylonians, the Persians, the Greek, the Romans? Of course, there are monuments, ruins they have left behind, but nothing of that lasts. And also the empires of the modern time. Hitler tried to build an empire for 1,000 years, and we know it stayed just for 13 years. Of course, it brought untold misery to the whole world, but the empire collapsed. So the collapsing of the empires and the coming of the kingdom of God that lasts forever, the kingdom of peace and justice, the kingdom of fraternity and liberty. This is what Mary is proclaiming here. He has brought down the mighty, powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. A change in the economic sphere, a change in the political and moral sphere. This is what Mary is proclaiming. In fact, this is only an anticipation of what is going to come. The child that is yet unborn, a child that is in the womb of Mary, when he comes out and when he grows up, will start proclaiming, "Blessed are the poor, because theirs is the kingdom of God." Jesus will say, as his manifesto in the synagogue of Nazareth, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. He has sent me to proclaim the good news to the poor." The same Jesus would say, "Blessed are you who are hungry, you will be filled." The same time he would also say, "Woe to you rich, because you have received your reward. Woe to you those who are satisfied now, you will hunger." So what Jesus will proclaim later is now brought in anticipation in the mouth of Mary. We could say rather, Jesus grew up in the school of Mary. Mary who sung this hymn of liberation, the entire, total, integral liberation of humanity, individuals or societies. Mary is singing the praise of God who intervenes in favor of the poor, the weak, the downtrodden. God who is changing the face of the earth, God who is changing the standards, the scales, and gives a new life, a new vision. And this is the experience. The third part of the hymn goes on to say that this is all the fulfillment of the promise of God. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors. In the book of Genesis, from chapter 12 onwards, we can read the promises God made. In chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, we read, "I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great. I'll bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you will I curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And this blessing was repeated when Abraham made his ultimate act of obedience, was ready to sacrifice his only son. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 16 to 18, we read, "Because you have done this and have not withheld your only son, I will indeed bless you, and I will make your offspring as numerous. And your offspring shall possess the gate of their enemies, and by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves, because you have obeyed my voice." So this was the promise, that through the offspring of Abraham, the entire world would be blessed. And Mary experiences this blessing in the incarnation of the Son of God, which she is experiencing in her heart and her body. And that gives her joy. So now, let's conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for choosing the humble, the weak, and the lowly for your great work of redemption, for your kingdom to establish on this earth. Thank you, Father, for having chosen us also as your instruments, as you have chosen Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.